The Christian System, Alexander Campbell. Chapter 1, The Universe. One God, one system of nature, one universe. That universe is composed of innumerable systems which in perfect concert move forward in subordination to one supreme end. That one end of all things is the sovereign and infinite pleasure of Him who inhabits eternity and animates the universe with His presence. So worship and adore the heavenly hierarchies, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. The universe is a system of systems, not only as respects the 75 millions of suns and their attendant planets, which fill up the already discovered fields of ethereal space, but in reference to the various systems separate though united, distinct though amalgamated, heterogeneous though homogeneous, which are but component parts of every solar system, of every planet in that system, and of every organic and inorganic mass on each planet. Thus, in the person of a single individual man, we have an animal system, an intellectual system, a moral system, running into each other and connecting themselves with everything of a kindred nature in the whole universe of God, just as we have in the human body itself a system of solids and a system of fluids, and these again forming themselves into a system of bones, a system of nerves, a system of arteries, a system of veins, etc. Now, as no one system is insular and independent, no system can be understood abstractly. Every particular system must be viewed in reference to that system which is proximate to it in nature and use. Thus, we view the bones in the human body as connected with the muscles as connected with the nerves as connected with the arteries as connected with the veins, and this all as connected with the human frame and with the fluids evolved by them or circulated through them, etc. As then, the systems of the universe and the sciences which treat of them run into each other and mutually lend and borrow light, illustration, and development, it is a mark of imbecility of mind rather than of strength, of folly rather than of wisdom, for anyone to dogmatize with an air of infallibility or to assume the attitude of perfect intelligence on any one subject of human thought without an intimate knowledge of the whole universe. But, as such knowledge is not within the grasp of feeble mortal man, whose horizon is a point of creation and whose days are but a moment of time, it is superlatively incongruous for any son of science or of religion to affirm that this or that issue is absolutely irrational, unjust, or unfitting the schemes of eternal providence or the purposes of the supreme wisdom and benevolence only as he is guided by the oracles of infallible wisdom or the inspirations of the Almighty. Who could pronounce upon the wisdom and utility of a single joint without a knowledge of the limb to which it belongs, of that limb without understanding of the body to which it ministers, of that body without a clear perception of the world in which it moves and of the relations which it sustains, of that world without some acquaintance of the solar system of which it is but a small part, of that particular solar system without a general and even intimate knowledge of all the kindred systems, of all these kindred systems without a thorough comprehension of the ultimate design of the whole creation, of that ultimate design, without a perfect intelligence of that incomprehensible being by whom and for whom all things were created and made. How gracefully, then, sits unassuming modesty on all the reasonings of man! The true philosopher and the true Christian, therefore, delight always to appear in the unaffected costume of humility, candor, and docility. He who through a vast immensity can pierce, sees worlds on worlds compose one universe. Observe how system into system runs, what other planets circle other suns, what varied beings people every star. May tell why God has made us as we are. Pope.